China's economy is rapidly slowing and threatening to trigger a global financial crisis, and that's got Beijing starting to panic. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today as China's economy is becoming front and center as it's slowing down and threatening to trigger a global financial crisis. And policymakers in Beijing are starting to panic as the Winter Olympics are just weeks away from starting. And you may recall that at the closing bell of the 2008 Olympics that China hosted, well, the weeks followed triggered the Lehman Brothers collapse and the great financial crisis. And with the global economy already slowing, U.S. stocks heading lower, well, that means Beijing's going to be front and center on TVs all around the world. And the last thing they want is people to see that their economy is slowing and possibly the catalyst for the next financial crisis. So they're starting to panic. But when they do, watch out below. Let's pick this story up as we head over to Bloomberg as Beijing Winter Olympics will spotlight a richer, more confident China. The country is richer, more confident, more assertive than when it was in 2008 Summer Games that were held in Beijing. And keep in mind, that's the image they want you to see. In 2008, the country had just surpassed Germany to become the world's third largest economy. Its gross domestic product still trailed Japan's. It was only one-third the size of the U.S. economy. Today, China's GDP is three times larger than Japan's and steadily closing in on the number one spot. If Chinese President Xi Jinping is able to deliver on growth-boosting reforms and U.S. President Joe Biden's legislative agenda stumbles, China could take the U.S. over as soon as 2031, at least from an economic standpoint, according to forecasts by Bloomberg. And Western nations have also done their part to boost China's confidence. 3 weeks after the 2008 closing ceremony in Beijing, the Lehman Brothers filed for bankruptcy, setting off a global financial crisis that pummeled economies around the world, China's included. Now, if you could only imagine if lightning struck twice and that happened again, but given what we're seeing in the backdrops of the global economy, well, that's a realistic possibility. Let's keep going. As we see here from the Wall Street Journal, in China, the economic buzzword for 2022 is stability. And after a spree of regulation to fix long-running ills last year, Beijing is focused on shielding growth and, of course, keeping the world on eyes that it says, hey, China is a great place. Stability has become the top economic priority after months of dramatic actions aimed at revamping an economic model that economists say relied too much on growth from housing construction and government-led investments in infrastructure projects. Strict new limits were imposed on how much property developers could borrow, setting off a slump in the housing market, of course threatening another real estate crisis as developers stopped bidding for new land and home buyers delayed purchases. Meanwhile, government efforts to rein in and discipline private sector firms from tech giants to for-profit tutoring services spooked investors at home and abroad. And Beijing has also imposed tighter cybersecurity regulations that could snarl Chinese tech giants' overseas listing plans. And all of these steps have taken a toll on China's economic growth, which is going to be front and center here in a matter of weeks after a relatively strong export-led recovery in the first half of 2021 expanded 12.7% from the year earlier period. China's economy has lost momentum in the second half. It grew by 4.9% in the third quarter and decelerated further to 4% in the fourth quarter. And for the full year, its GDP grew a mere 8.1%, which is still good. But given the trajectory, it's headed lower. And you may recall the last time the world was heading to recession before the pandemic, well, that was around 2016, and China pulled the world out. But can they do it this time? Well, not so sure. Let's keep going, because adding to the complexity of policymaking is Beijing's strategy to stamp out COVID-19. Infections with severe lockdowns and movement restrictions, in particular, ahead of the Winter Olympic Games in Beijing and surrounding sites next month. Over the weekend, the capital city reported its first community case of the Omicron variant, and as we know, it's already shutting down other economies. A recent wave of COVID cases is starting to disrupt China's manufacturing output and already strained supply chain. Of course, as we've been discussing, that's a huge problem, and their supply chain issues. You know, we just talked the other day about the U.S. and Canadian border. Well, you're seeing it all going all over the world, including China, and you keep thinking higher prices are going to be stuck in our economy for a while that doesn't get fixed. Factories last fall suffered from temporary electricity shortage in part because authorities in some regions imposed caps on coal output. Households, meanwhile, could even be more reluctant to spend as smaller businesses, especially those in close contact services industries like hospitality, get hammered by China's zero tolerance strategy, which includes neighborhood lockdowns, location tracking, and restrictions on travel in an effort to eradicate the virus completely. And of course, we look at the data now and we start to understand where China's problem is coming from. Well, it's pretty obvious because inflation in China, well, it's a completely different picture than here in the U.S. Here we see the month over month went to minus 0.3% deflationary print for December, and their year over year rate change slowed from 2.3 to 1.5%. Producer prices are even slowing down to 10.3% year over year. And we can see industrial production slowing to 4.3%, retail sales dropping to 1.7. Now in the US, that may not be a terrible number, but in China, check this chart out. This is the retail sales data on a year over year basis. And you can see that the 1.7%, it means we're heading into a recession, or they're heading into recession. And what that means, of course, the global economy is likely soon to follow. Now, if you're concerned about any of this in your portfolio, well, you shouldn't be. Check out Portfolio Shield. You'll be glad you did. Now, let's keep going with this China story because it gets a bit worse. So we see here that Beijing faces growing COVID outbreak before Olympics as they report 24 cases linked to Omicron and Delta. And that certainly won't look good on TVs around the world. And the outbreak comes just before the official start of the Olympics on February 4th, as the city is emerging as the latest virus hotspot in the country after health authorities scrambled to contain Omicron's first domestic spread in Tianjin, a coastal city near Beijing, and lockdown and a western Chinese city of 13 million in the wake of Delta flare-up. And of course, that means that China has got to respond, at least their central bank is going to, and that means easing, of course, in the face of the Fed tightening. Of course, whose central bank is more powerful? Well, we already know that answer. It's the one who controls the world's reserve currency, but China's going to do everything they can to make sure that things aren't that bad there. Check this out. As China's seen cutting rates once more before July, analysts say, the PBOC is going to ease monetary policy more proactively, and that means it will not wait until GDP data shows weakness of the economy, said Iris Peng, the chief China economist at ING Bank in Hong Kong. Fiscal spending on infrastructure investments are likely to speed up, which will give GDP growth a boost. Of course, they're going to need that because the PBOC also gives clear easing signal with the promise to boost growth, as the central bank will roll out other policies to stabilize the economy. And check this out. China's central bank pledged use more monetary policy tools to spur the economy and drive credit expansion, sending its clearest signal yet of an easing bias to boost market confidence. The People's Bank of China will open the monetary policy toolbox wider, maintaining stable overall money supply and avoiding a collapse in credit, according to Deputy Governor Liu, as I said Tuesday at a briefing in Beijing. The central bank will roll out more policies to stabilize economic growth, front-load actions to make preemptive moves, he said. It will address common concerns in the market in a timely manner and stay ahead of the market curve. And of course, all this is being done ahead of the Olympics, because the worst thing that can happen is during the Olympics, the global economy get even worse and markets crash, and fingers are going to point at China. But let's keep going. The PBOC's easing stance is in stark contrast with other major central banks like the Federal Reserve, which is forecast to hike rates to contain inflation. China's sovereign yield curve is poised to steepen as the nation's bond extend in advance on expectations the central bank will continue cutting official rates while its global peers tighten policy. And again, the question you should be asking is, who's the more powerful central bank? Well, that's the Fed. So China's going to throw everything at this to make sure they look good, at least through the Olympics. And now you can see they're even going to target an increase in lending. As Bloomberg headlines, China urges banks to boost lending after a slow start to 2022. And the PBOC issued window guidance, something straight out of Japan, this month, people familiar say. The central bank is loosening policy, diverging with the Fed. The People's Bank of China gave so-called window guidance to large state-owned lenders and regional banks in mid-January, encouraging them to extend more credit to companies and households, people familiar with the matter said, asking not to be identified discussing private information. Bank lending in the first 2 weeks of the year was lower in the same period of 2021, one of the people said. The PBOC guidance underscores a growing sense of urgency in Xi Jinping's government to stabilize the world's second largest economy before a crucial leadership transition later this year, not to mention the Olympics. China's slowdown, fueled by a slumping property market, lackluster investment, and weak spending by COVID-weary consumers, has already prompted the central bank to cut interest rates and pledge further action to support demand. But will any of this be enough? Well, I don't think so, because the real issue we've been talking about is not just a demand issue, but it's also a supply chain issue. And check this out, because supply chain problems are big and deep in China. As we can see, one of China's busiest ports jammed by COVID ship delays, as manufacturers in southern China are currently making a last push to ship out goods before Lunar New Year holiday, which starts next week, with the People's Daily reporting that trucked volumes into Shenzhen's Yantian terminal on January 13th were about 30% above December levels. Those goods are stacking up as ships coming to pick them up have been delayed by congestion in U.S. and Europe. And congested ports and holidays are likely to further slow shipments of goods to the U.S. and elsewhere, adding to already high inflation pressures. The price of U.S. imports from China was at the highest level for more than 6 years in December 2021. And I think China, despite their best efforts to ease here, are going to just face the same problem that global economies everywhere are, and that's supply chain issues due to COVID-19. And with that, we'll bring us the world to the next global financial crisis. And with that, I'm Steve Van Meter. Thanks for watching. Bye now. The content of this video provides educational information only, not intended to provide investment advice. This video doesn't be construed as recognition or solicitation by selling a security financial instrument or participate in a particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, opinions expressed in this video that I do not affect the value of Atlas Financial Advisors Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.